From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, To Others, an Example. The text is found in Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It is well when a man can with advantage be so minutely copied as Paul might have been. Oh, for grace to imitate him this day and every day! Should we, through divine grace, carry into practice the Pauline teaching, we may claim the promise which is now open before us. And what a promise it is! God, who loves peace, makes peace, and breathes peace, will be with us. Peace be with you is a sweet benediction, but for the God of peace to be with us is far more. Thus we have the fountain as well as the streams, the sun as well as his beams. If the God of peace be with us, we shall enjoy the peace of God which passes all understanding, even though outward circumstances should threaten to disturb. If men quarrel, we shall be sure to be peacemakers, if the Maker of peace be with us. It is in the way of truth that real peace is found. If we quit the faith or leave the path of righteousness under the notion of promoting peace, we shall be greatly mistaken. First pure, then peaceable, is the order of wisdom and of fact. Let us keep to Paul's line, and we shall have the God of peace with us, as he was with the apostle. If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World, part of this study of the Epistle to the Romans. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 reveal Paul's burden for preaching the gospel. His burden for missionary work grew out of his own experience of the power of the gospel. Then Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. For him, preaching the word was not an option, it was an obligation. Consequently, his desire to go to Rome was fueled by a longing to gather spiritual fruit there. Paul's ministry was characterized by the desire always to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Christian's Obligation to Make the Gospel Known.
As I quoted this morning from 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, then to Paul's way of thinking, the sinners whom he has saved have the obligation to go and tell other sinners of Christ's mission of mercy. But he felt the obligation because God had called him to that work. You remember we looked at this earlier on in this epistle or this chapter. Paul says he was a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He was separated unto the gospel of God. God had saved him and said, Paul, what you've got to live for now is the gospel. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. Paul was called in a very special way to a work that no other man in history has ever been called to. But that uniqueness does not extend so far as to say that when God spoke to Paul, saying in effect, Paul, I have saved you, and your life from this point onwards must be a life for the spread of the gospel. The uniqueness doesn't extend so far that that is true of Paul only. The uniqueness was the kind of ministry, the kind of apostolic power. That's not yours or mine, but the obligation to be separated unto the gospel is. Let me make it clear. Whether you're a student or a professor, whether you're a shopkeeper or a tycoon in industry, whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, whether you have all the brains in the world or whether you think you were marked absent the day they were giving out the brains, doesn't matter. I want you to learn this. If God has saved you, He has set you apart unto the gospel. So whatever your position in life, whatever your talent, lack of talent is no excuse in this. Understand that. Lack of talent is no excuse. If you have a soul saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Christ, God says you're separated unto the gospel of God. That's the obligation. Paul felt that God had given him a stewardship. In those days, a stewardship was a work normally committed to a slave. And in this case, it was committed to a slave. Why do I emphasize that? Because in this sense, preaching was not optional to Paul. It was obligatory upon him. Have you ever thought of the words that he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17? Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And I'm not trying to set this in its context. There is an argument in context here that is interesting, but it's not to my point tonight. I want you to understand the words and their force. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Why? Because necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, by that he means if I do it as an option that I have chosen, then I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, by that he does not mean reluctantly. By that he means if I'm doing it not as an option, but as an obligation. A dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. What is Paul saying here? He says, I owe it to these people to go first because they are dying and I have the message they need. Second, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And as a slave, I have a stewardship given to me. It's not optional for a Christian to be a witness. It is obligatory for a Christian to be a witness. That's what he's saying. And then, of course, he's saying, I owe it to these people because there is a mighty harvest to be gathered. I long to go to Rome that I might have some fruit. And the idea of having fruit here is not bearing fruit, but gathering in the fruit. I have this passion that I should go and gather in the harvest, that there is fruit to be gathered in. I don't think I'm straying too much from Paul's thought to say that he would certainly have had in mind as he thought of fruit the words of the Lord Jesus, I have ordained you that ye go and bring forth fruit. But I think even more, he had in mind, since he's talking about gathering fruit, that I have ordained you that you would go and lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest. Don't be saying there are 4 months. Don't be saying we can put it off, because you can't put it off. What is it about the harvest when it's white already to harvest? As Mr. Spurgeon pointed out powerfully in a sermon he preached as a young man, that waving field of grain, that harvest that's white, ready to harvest, It speaks to you first and foremost of multitude. You think of the millions of, well, you'd be hard to understand this when you look at corn growing in America with these big cobs of corn. Where I come from, corn doesn't grow in cobs. It grows, you would say, in just about individual little parts of that cob. When you see it waving, you're talking about millions upon millions. That's the view that Jesus has. Look at the fields, and you get the idea of multitude. Look in the fields, and you get the idea of urgency. Doesn't take you to be much of a farmer to understand that there is a very limited time in which the harvest must be gathered in. And if the farmer misses that window of opportunity, the harvest will never be gathered in. Now, I understand the doctrine of the sovereignty of God as far as my puny brain can. I understand the doctrine of God's immutable decree. But I also understand that he who decrees the end decrees the means. And I also understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking in terms that we may grasp and that may motivate us. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields. There's a harvest to be gathered in. And if you don't gather it in quickly, you're never going to gather it in at all. I was reading in Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Why? Because you're going to the grave. And as soon as you're in the grave, your reaping days are over. Your serving days are done. We're all going there. Oh, listen, my friend. Paul says, I want fruit. I want to gather in the harvest. That's why when he looked at these people in chapter 15, he says, I'm sure when I come to you, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, because I believe what I am preaching is going to reap a mighty harvest. I believe that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe, I have confidence in the gospel. Paul believed it. It wasn't a matter of speculation. There's a harvest to be gathered, and he had the gospel to gather it in. It was Goethe who said, when I go to hear a preacher, I don't always believe what he says, but I want him to believe it. How true. When Paul preached the gospel, he believed it. He preached what he believed, what he knew would work to the saving of souls. Oh, he says, therefore I'm a debtor. I owe it to these people. So he had a burden that grew out of his experience of the gospel. That burden expressed itself as a sense of obligation and debt. And that sense of obligation and debt led Paul to be always on the stretch for God. So much so that however much he did to spread the gospel, he always wanted to do more. We read in chapter 15 how busy Paul was at this particular time. For years he'd been constantly on the go preaching the gospel. Chapter 15, 19, by the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And that's very easy for us to read nowadays, but take a map sometime. Have a good look at that. From Jerusalem. Take his missionary journeys. Illyricum is the area we would now call the Yugoslavian coast and inland. Just have a look and remember, he didn't have any steam trains, never mind diesel trains. He didn't have any airplanes. Most of the time he didn't even have a donkey. He walked on his own 2 feet. The greatest missionary the world has ever seen. He was busy. As Robert Haldane says, after so many labors, he did not wish for repose. He says, I'm busy. But oh, I want to do more. I'm winning souls here. I'm building churches here. But I have a vision for over there. And I want to go. Isn't that always the way? It's true of every great missionary and every great preacher. I remember Dr. Paisley saying in his young days in Belfast, when he was seeing hundreds of souls saved everywhere he went. Crowds were coming to the evangelistic meetings. There was a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost wherever he was preaching. And at that time, his heart was exercised about dropping everything and going to serve God in the upper reaches of the Amazon with the Acre Gospel Mission. I thank God he never went. Not that Brazil didn't need him, but Ulster needed him more. But doesn't it show you the heart? I think of C.T. Studd. Studd was saved through D.L. Moody. He became one of the famous Cambridge Seven. If you've never read of the Cambridge Seven, you should. Young man who had the world at their feet and gave it all up to serve Jesus Christ. He went out to China and with the others, lived as Chinese, looked and dressed as Chinese, came back in bad health to England, couldn't sit still in England, went to America to raise the missionary standard and urge young men to go to the mission field. Then went to India, broken in health. No mission board would take him. But Studd went anyway. For 6 years, labored and did a good work in India. And when he's in India, you'd have thought his work was over, but it wasn't. It was through Studd that the heart of Africa was opened up. The Heart of Africa Mission, later the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, giving birth also to the Unevangelized Fields Mission that have spread across the world and also had a powerful impact in Africa. Wherever he was working. But there was always another field. There was always a great work. There was always a new need. There was always a desire, however much he did, to do more. How easily satisfied we are. We do a little and we sit back and pride ourselves. Oh, how much I've done. God help our infantile wit. How little we have done. It's typical of anything associated with Studd. He was in Liverpool. There was a meeting in a public hall about the need of missionaries in Africa. And there the placard was outside. Cannibals need missionaries. And C.T. Studd, realizing he could end up in the pot. Dear help, the poor cannibal would have tried to eat Studd. But he went anyway. Always on the stretch for God. It was Studd who prayed the semi-poetic prayer. I don't want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. Lord, help me run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. However much he did, Paul wanted to do more.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.